This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My name is Alan Scott. This is the place where government actions come face-to-face with business decisions. Online at www.bgov.com, and of course on the air right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Earlier this week, Bloomberg Government, along with Building America's Future, held an event at the BGov offices. It was entitled America on the Move, Investing in the U.S. Infrastructure. Talking about the poor condition America's roads and bridges are in. We brought in some pretty heavy hitters to address the topic, and we'll pick it up now where Peter Cook, Bloomberg Television's Peter Cook, speaks with former Governor Ed Rendell and former Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood.
Two people who really need no introduction, particularly on these issues. We've got the former Secretary of Transportation, Ray LaHood, who of course also spent 14 years in Congress representing Illinois. He's now an advisor, senior policy advisor at DLA Piper. And we have
Governor
Ed Rendell, two-term governor of Pennsylvania, mayor of Philadelphia, a whole host of other titles, DNC chairman. My favorite, though, is the title of your book, which I don't know if there's been a better named book, A Nation of Wusses, How America's Leaders Lost the Guts to Make Us Great. It's been out a few years. You can track it down in your local bookstore on Amazon, I'm sure. These two gentlemen also, I need to point out, are the co-chairs of Building America's Future, along with a certain former mayor of New York City, who also happens to be the majority owner and founder of Bloomberg LP, our parent company at Bloomberg, Mayor Bloomberg. So we're really pleased to have both of you here to talk about these issues. You've heard a little bit from what's going on in Congress from Chairman Schuster, as well as a perspective from the administration. And I wanted to give you both the opportunity, perhaps Secretary LaHood first, paint the picture as you see it right now for how grim America's infrastructure outlook is. What is the challenge ahead?
Well, we're not number one anymore. We're number 16. You've heard me say this ad nauseum, but America is one big pothole. Any of you that drove here today know what I'm talking about, but it's true all over America. Bridges are falling down, roads are crumbling, and if it weren't for some very innovative governors around the country, we would really be in a terrible state because governors around the country, you saw what happened in Virginia, they changed the formula and came up with some creative funding. Other states are doing similar things, and this is a big mess, and we're not creating any jobs, we're not creating any opportunities, we're not rebuilding America. America's falling apart, and we need some people. If any of you have read Ed's book, what he talks about is having people in office that are willing to take risks and do things and get things done and not duck issues. And that's what we need in Washington right now. We need somebody to step up and say we need a six-year bill, we need to raise the gas tax, we need to index it. I would raise it 10 cents a gallon. I would index it. If they'd indexed it in 93, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. We wouldn't be running out of highway trust funds by the end of September. Passing a two-year bill is a joke. It's chintzy. It gives no certainty to any contractors anywhere in the country. We need a big, bold vision in Washington, not in the country. You talk to any governor, any of the 50 governors, they have vision, and they've stepped up. We need it here in Washington.
I'm going to let you amplify on that, and then I'm going to come back with a question.
I would, of course, echo everything that Ray just said. Wanted to add three other things that I think it's important after the first two speakers to understand. One, money matters. The American Society of Civil Engineers issued its five-year report on infrastructure. We got a D+, slightly improved. Only four areas, they broke it down by specific areas, improved. Roads, bridges, drinking water, and wastewater. Someone tell me for two tickets to the next Wizards NBA championship game, somebody
Somebody, they have a winning record now.
That's right. That's right. You can't pick on them anymore. Somebody tell me what those four things had in common. The stimulus. All of them received additional funding under the stimulus. In Pennsylvania, we got $1 billion for bridges and roads. We ourselves got about $400 million for water and wastewater. We did an $800 million water and wastewater bond issue. Money matters. There's no way we're going to get better infrastructure without spending and investing. We have to invest in our future. Secondly, there has to be a federal role. What the states are doing is terrific. And in Wyoming, Republican legislature, Republican governor, 10-cent hike in the gas tax. Pennsylvania, with a Republican governor who took a no-tax pledge, a huge 26-cent increase in the gas tax, because states understand how important it is to our economies and our public safety. But there has to be a federal role. There isn't enough money in states to do it. Third, we're all for 3Ps. Building America's Future wants to lift the cap on private activity bonds. We want to radically increase TIFIA funding. We want to make sure that you lift the cap on interstate tolling, interstate highways, so there can be return on investments. But remember, private funding is only going to take a small slice of the problem. Pennsylvania had 6,600 structurally deficient bridges when I took office. Because of a special state bond issue in bridges and because of stimulus, we were working on 1,400 bridges in September of my last year as governor. We're now down to 4,500 bridges. That's great progress. We still have 4,500 structurally deficient bridges. And only 10 of the 4,500 could be tolled. And the private sector, in case you haven't noticed, they're not going to invest unless they can get a return on their investment. So 3Ps are great. That'll take care of 10 of our 4,500. Federal, state, local government have to step up and do it. I will tell you, if the gas tax could be voted on by a secret ballot, it would get over 400 votes in the Congress.
Well, you need a secret ballot because, as Chairman Schuster said, the politics out there...
Because they're a bunch of wusses. By the way, nobody notices a gas tax increase. Governor Ridge, to his credit, raised the gas tax in his second to last year in office. Governor Ridge has always been a good governor, but he had great luck. When the gas tax went into effect, there was a feud among the OPEC nations, and gas prices dropped 25 cents a gallon. Nobody ever knew that there was a Ridge gas tax increase. But even if they know, do it. I mean, all these men and women who are resigning from Congress, stick around, vote your conscience, and let's see if we can get the country back on track.
Governor Rendell, let me push back there. There are Americans out there going to hear this argument and say, can't Congress find this money somewhere else? We're being taxed enough right now. The economy's not great. There's still 6.5% unemployment, 6.7% unemployment. Things are challenging right now. This is not the right environment to raise the gasoline tax in America.
Sure, and I remember when I became governor, people did not want, they were dead set against any tax increase. They said, you know, cut programs. And then there was a poll, education, no, increase education spending. Transportation, no, don't cut that. There wasn't one program that people were willing to cut. So you can't have it both ways. And sometimes you have to lead. The very essence of leading is to do things that, right at least initially, people don't want. My first year as governor, we had the second highest tax increase in Pennsylvania history. $2.7 billion in total taxes increased. Everyone thought I was dead for governor, but we actually used the money to do things. And 3 years later, I got reelected by a margin of 21 points. And by the way, no one said I should run for president.
Secretary LaHood, speaking of president, the current president isn't talking about some of these ideas himself right now, raising the gasoline tax.
Well, look at Peter, you mentioned in your comments with Chairman Schuster, this president has talked more about infrastructure in his State of the Union than any president combined of all the presidents that have given State of the Union. You stated that. No president has talked more about infrastructure than President Obama. He's the one that put the stimulus bill together. And now you talk to most members of Congress, rather than $48 billion coming to DOT, they wish $480 billion had come because we spent it properly. We spent it in 2 years. We put friends and neighbors to work. We put 65,000 people to work in 15,000 projects, thanks to good governors like Governor Rendell and governors all over the country. The idea that President Obama hadn't talked about infrastructure is not accurate. based on what you just said 2 hours ago.
On the funding side of the equation, though, on solving
on the
that
funding side, the president has proposed, while I was secretary, a $550 billion transportation budget paid for. Now, when people said, well, we don't like to pay for, fine, come up with another one. But the idea that the president hadn't talked about it is not accurate. We had a proposal, $550 billion, over 5 years, paid for, which we submitted to Congress. Every year the president's talked about a $50 billion upfront investment in infrastructure. He's talked about the infrastructure bank. The idea that there's no pay for is just not accurate. We need some other people in this town with a vision and a little courage to step up.
Well, let me get your sense right now in this midterm election year, whether or not the wusses here in Washington, as you refer to them, what are the opportunities here for some sort of bipartisan compromise? We're going to have a farm bill that actually gets passed by the Senate
there's
today.
An easy that, answer to that.
There was a budget deal.
Easy
is transportation infrastructure one of those things?
Wait till after the election. That's the easy answer to it. That's about the only time we've got a chance to get this thing done. And look, the people are smarter.
The problem, Governor, is, of course, that the funding here runs out September.
They can finesse that. They always have. In fact,
we had 26 extensions before the last bill, before MAP 21 was passed.
That's not a problem. But look at it. The basic problem here is that there's one difficult choice after another. And really, why do we not get infrastructure spending? Because it can't compete. When I had a debate with Grover Norquist over at Union Station a couple of years ago, and finally Grover said, no, I'm for infrastructure spending, but just take it from existing spending. But infrastructure, which is long-range investment, can't compete with short-run needs like LIHEAP. People are going to freeze to death if we don't have LIHEAP. So that takes priority. The infrastructure should not be in the operating budget. What is the one political subdivision in this country that does not have a capital budget? What is the one, every county, every city, every state has a capital budget so that long-term investments don't have to compete with short-term spending. The only one that doesn't is the federal government. It is time for us to have a federal capital budget. It is time for us to do something about the Budget Act that will allow us to have a federal capital budget. It's the only way we're going to do long-term investments. Folks, do you know that every one of the G20 nations in the last 15 years, either that or it's currently underway, has had a long-term infrastructure revitalization program. Building America's Future did a study. ASCE did a study. The Surface Transportation Commission of the Congress did a study. We need to spend $200 billion a year more on the American infrastructure, not just transportation, each and every year for the next 10 years. That's $2 trillion, more than we're spending now. And it's not all federal. It's state, local, federal, private. If we did it, if you take the DOT figure of $1 billion creating 25,000 jobs, which was verified in Pennsylvania by stimulus, that would produce 4.5 million well-paying American jobs that couldn't be outsourced. It would help American manufacturing, steel, aggregate, asphalt, concrete, timber. It would be unbelievable the economic vitality that would bring to our construction industry and our manufacturing industry. Why in the heck aren't we doing it? It's an investment in our future. Name me one company that's grown successful in this country that didn't invest in its own future, that didn't put money into a new product line or research or additional factories. It's the only way to grow, and we've stopped growing, we're stagnating, and we're in trouble.
Peter, let me just mention, too, just to remind everybody, most people in this room are too young to remember this. After President Reagan was reelected, he asked Congress to pass a six-year transportation bill, and by the way, they raised the gas tax.
Right.
A Republican, a conservative. So what Ed is suggesting here maybe should be looked at. Maybe the courage will come after the election, but we can't wait much longer. You all know that. That's why you're all here, because you have a deep interest in infrastructure. But it's been done before, Peter. That's the point.
Let me get your take. In the event that Congress can't confront the issue of the gasoline tax, we heard Chairman Schuster talk about the idea of maybe repatriation all those corporate dollars being earned overseas, bringing those back and dedicating that to infrastructure. That's an idea that, that some folks in Congress have talked about. Also, Republicans have talked about taking royalties earned from expanded offshore drilling. Are there other options out there, user fees, that sort of thing, that would make, that you think could be solutions if the gas tax issue can't be dealt with?
When you look at the rich history of this country, whether it's the Golden Gate Bridge, the Hoover Dam, the interstate system, our freight rail system, these big, bold projects that put a lot of Americans to work and made America number one were done because of the Highway Trust Fund. This is a federal program. It needs a federal initiative. It needs a federal vision. Look, we can throw out all these other ideas. Nothing is going to create the kind of money that increasing the gas tax, 10 cents a gallon and indexing it, it would be a great jump start. And then use tolling, use 3Ps,
right.
Use...
raise TIFIA.
Yeah, raise TIFIA. It was raised to $2 billion in MAP 21. Do more Tiger money. Do all of these things, but only do it after you replenish the fund that has built America and put Americans to work.
Interestingly, Peter, one of the most effective things that, again, was done out of the stimulus era was building America bonds. We use building America bonds, we being the states and the cities, we use building America bonds terrifically. For those, I guess you're all familiar, but the federal government paid a percentage of the debt service on state and local bonds. It caused an explosion of activity, unfortunately, at sunset. We need to come back, and I think Senator Wyden has a proposal for what he calls fast-track bonds or something. We need a bonding proposal, too, because we're not going to get a capital budget, even though it makes abundant sense, because this is Washington. But maybe we can get a mini capital budget like Building America's bonds was.
Let me ask you about one aspect, one proposal that's been out there and talked about, and that's the idea of an infrastructure bank. Why is this proven to be such a tough sell, Secretary LaHood?
Because it's President Obama's idea. I mean, you know, that's the simple political answer. You know, it's like high-speed rail. You had Republicans in places like California and other places that voted for high-speed rail, that were for high-speed rail, and as soon as it got into this stimulus in under $8 billion and became President Obama's, one of his signature programs, Republicans decided they didn't like it. So that's the political answer. The other answer is that Congress doesn't like its prerogatives taken away, and they think the infrastructure bank doesn't give them the kind of opportunities that they want.
Your take on the infrastructure, man?
Yeah, I think the Secretary...
I know John Delaney, the congressman from Maryland, has got a bipartisan
Mark
proposal.
Mark Warner and Senator Blunt have one. Senator Kirk actually has, I think, the best proposal of all. But look, the infrastructure bank... Also, it has to be funded, and again, it has to have seed funding. We're not talking about a lot of funding, $5 billion a year, $10 billion repatriation. Congressman Delaney wants to sell bonds to raise $50 billion. There are ways to do it, and you don't have to look very far to see the success of an infrastructure bank. The European Infrastructure Bank, which all of the Euro nations contribute to, it has been enormously successful. It's a loan program at a very low rate, and it makes money. The bank pays for its administrative costs from the return on the loans, and it makes a profit, which gets plowed back into further loans. It's an extraordinarily successful project. It's helped Europe rebuild its infrastructure, and it's just sinful that we don't have one. It makes no sense.
What are some of the other ideas, as you all have done your work with Build America's Future, ideas you're seeing executed overseas, other countries, that America should look at? What are they doing that we're not?
Well, they're ahead of us in a vehicle miles traveled tax. Actually, VMT doesn't have to be intrusive in terms of security. I heard Deputy Secretary Mendez talk about that. There's a new technology that's being piloted. VMT is being piloted in Oregon with Governor Kitzhaber, but there's a new technology that's at the pump. It doesn't track your where you're going, but it just tracks your usage of gasoline, and it's an innovative process. And Governor Markell of Delaware and Governor O'Malley of Maryland are instituting a pilot on that. VMT has to come. I think Earl Blumenauer's bill, which doesn't even have a co-sponsor, is the right thing. He extends the gas tax for 15 years and then sunsets it to give us time to find a replacement that will do something on miles traveled, whatever it is. And that's probably the right time, maybe 10 years, 15. But those are some of the things we need to be doing. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. And there is a great market for the private sector. I think I heard Congressman Schuster talk about the Northeast Corridor and high-speed rail. The Acela makes money. You all understand that. If the Acela were a standalone line, the Acela makes money. Now, the Acela has the advantage that the original infrastructure was paid for by the federal government. But the Acela operating makes money. If you turn the Acela, let's assume you could get from Washington to New York in one hour. How many of you would like to take that train? Washington to New York in 1 hour. That would make money hand over fist. We don't need a big government subsidy. We need some government help from state and federal governments in building out the infrastructure necessary. But after that, that could be a profit-making venture. So there is a role for the private sector, but we've got to find the way to do it, the way to incentivize it, the way to structure it, and it can't be the sole answer. We've got to attack this problem on all fronts. There is no one silver bullet. We all agree with that. Stimulus did a great job. I mean, the untold story of stimulus, because it got tied up in politics, was the road and bridges part of stimulus was enormously successful. And Ray's right, even Republicans say we should have spent more on infrastructure out of stimulus. We spent, I love it when people say, that was an $870 billion spending bill. No, it wasn't. $350 billion of it, 40%, were tax cuts. Were tax cuts, which, judging from the result, didn't do a whole lot to stimulate the economy.
How big a challenge is that, Mr. Secretary, the story about stimulus? You tell the story about the investment in infrastructure, highways, the $48 billion and the 15,000 miles of roads that were improved or refurbished in some form or fashion, but that is not necessarily the story that a lot of Americans have heard themselves or what they think about it. There are still a lot of Americans who think there was money wasted, and that's one reason they're reluctant to let Washington run off with more money.
Well, what happened was some of the other stimulus money was controversial. The only thing that people can remember about stimulus in this town is a word called Solyndra. And if you take that word out and put in what we did with our $48 billion, this is a huge success. You talk to any governor, Republican or Democratic governor in this country, they will tell you they benefited from the $48 billion because their people went to work. And a lot of orange cones went up all over America. And that's why I've had more members of Congress say, I wish it had been $480 billion. And I think if the president and Rahm and others had it to do over again, it would have been $480 billion. Our money was spent correctly, and America benefited from it. And it's proof that when you make the investments, friends and neighbors go to work, we rebuild America's infrastructure, and we get back to being number one again.
Thanks to former Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell, former Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, and of course, Bloomberg Television's Peter Cook. You too can be a part of the conversation. Tweet us at BGov and make sure you use the hashtag BGovBuild. I'll catch you again next Thursday at 11 with plenty more to say about the business impact of government actions. For BGov's Capital Impact on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, I'm Alan Scott.